At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is yours truly, Travis Ryer, back with you on a Monday night. It is Georgia week, the much anticipated Alabama-Georgia week. Dogs and Crimson Tide set to do it again. The preeminent matchup in the Southeastern Conference. Another regular season contest between these two. We know in the last 10 meetings, it's been all Alabama. 9 out of the last 10 in favor of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And the Dogs, a 3.5 point favorite going into Saturday night's game at Sanford Stadium. I thought that number was a little low myself in terms of what we feel like we've probably legitimately learned about these two teams through three games apiece. Georgia in that comeback on the road at Tennessee. I think Alabama's still at a point, though, even a year and some change removed from the Nick Saban era, where it might be tough. It still might be tough to get money coming in against Alabama, although it is Georgia. It is Georgia we're talking about here with Kirby Smart. Got that thing rolling pretty good over in Athens, Georgia, today. But we're going to get into some Kalen DeBoer comments from Monday's news conference in Tuscaloosa. We'll go through what was really a pretty brief exchange between Kalen DeBoer and the assembled media there at the Naylor Stone Media Suite at the Malmore Athletic Center athletic facility. There was a lot of news, by the way, on this Monday, wasn't there? Bruce Pearl stepping away as the Auburn men's basketball coach, going to leave it to his son, Steven. Pretty good timing if you're Steven. You know, Bruce apparently going to go into politics, sounds like. Coach Pearl going to go into politics. Big changes on the basketball front. But so much football to still consider here over the next couple of months. And for Alabama, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's do or die Saturday night at Sanford Stadium, but you sort of used one of your gimmies, not a gimme, but one of your lifelines in that season opening loss at Florida State. So you got to make one up somewhere, it feels like, for this Alabama team. And this matchup with Georgia would certainly go a long way in that regard. If Alabama is able to sort of cure what ails it here on the road under Kalen DeBoer over the last 10 or 12 games. But again, we'll get into Kalen's comments. Good updates, I thought, on Jam Miller, Tim Keenan. You also heard from both the coordinators on Monday, so you had a little bit of interaction there and some information that was exchanged. But all in all, again, very businesslike for the Alabama Brain Trust during Monday's availability. If you're an Alabama fan, that's the way you've seen, that's the way you probably should want it in such a big week. And you know, it feels like, too, in this week that there's not much of a middle ground. It feels like there's the Alabama fan base, that faction of the fan base that sort of feels like, yeah, it's Georgia. You know, we beat Georgia. That's what we do. And then there's this other faction that has been traumatized, I'd say, a little bit by what we've seen from Alabama, especially on the road at places like Florida State, at Tennessee, at Norman, at Nashville. Now, those type of performances are a little bit hard to erase from the frontal lobes at this point. But, well, again, every week, every matchup, things can be a little bit different. I'm kind of in the middle there. Again, I'm a little surprised that that number's as low as it is in Vegas. Again, there are reasons for that, not necessarily related to what a prediction is for the game. It's all about cash flow, as we know. But yeah, I think that I'm also sort of that belief that I need to see it. I need to see it from this Alabama program, not an Alabama team. This is a program game on Saturday night. This is a litmus test. This is a referendum as to where you are as a program, not just as a football team, because football teams come and go. Football teams come and go. Programs go for 10, 15, 20 years if they're done right. And so real checkup for Kalen DeBoer and his guys coming up on Saturday night. We got some folks checking in right now. Our friend Bob checking in here in the comments live with an RTR. If you'd like to jump in with some thoughts and some questions, just some things that you feel like you need to get off your chest on a Monday night as it relates to Alabama football, we are here for you. But let's get into some of these Kalen DeBoer comments while we're here. We're going to do a little bit of director work right here. We're always going to do the less of me, more of, you know, the main thing here. And so we're going to go to Kalen and we're going to hear from him. Starting off here, we're going to hear from him in relation to Jam Miller. Let's see what he had to say. Well, let me get this right here. You know, that would help, right? All right, here we go. And that's a lot of it. That was Chase Goodbread, who joins me right here on Ryder on YouTube on a weekly basis, talking Alabama football and talking Tide. But Chase, with the question there in terms of getting Jam back and pass protection, and as we heard from Kalen right there, it's not just about the physical maturity that you need to get the job done when you're going to be seeing some guys for Georgia in those A-gaps on Saturday night. I mean, when you're talking about CJ Allen and you're talking about Raylan Wilson. Now, Georgia threw three games with just four sacks on the season, but half of those have come from inside linebackers. Raylan Wilson has a sack through three games. CJ Allen has a sack through three games. Between them, according to Georgia's quarterback pressure numbers, a combined 10 quarterback pressures for Raylan Wilson and CJ Allen. So it's going to be a grown man affair when you talk about running back, linebacker interactions. And I think that's where Wisconsin can help a little bit. Wisconsin's not a good football team, as we had reaffirmed for us in that abysmal performance at Camp Randall over the weekend against visiting Maryland. Boy, Luke Fickell, you talk about warm, warm seats right now. But those two inside linebackers for Wisconsin, they could bring it. They could bring it in the A-gap. And so I do think getting that sort of experience, even for your other guys, sometimes it was tough love, right? I mean, it was pretty tough love for Rich Young in one particular instance. So, but it's still a situation he can grow from, no doubt about it. But Jam is not just that physically he's going to be okay with stepping up in there as a upperclassman, an older guy, a captain type, even if he isn't a captain, and doing what he needs to do, putting his face in the fan. It's also recognition, because earlier on Monday, you heard from Ryan Grubb. And I thought Ryan Grubb, Alabama's offensive coordinator, made a good point about Kirby and Georgia can give you some different looks. You got to be able to identify it. And that's going to be on Ty too. And so, you know, there's a couple of different things in play here that I'm sure Kirby and Dan Lanning are going to look to check under the hood of from the outset on Saturday night. And it's going to entail pressure and trying to make Ty Simpson as uncomfortable as possible, as early as possible, because he's had some of that early in games, which is understandable. He's only still as good as he's been, especially the last two games. He's still only three starts into this thing, and he's going back on the road for just the second time. And so you're going to see if you can get that quarterback a little bit rat trap. And Georgia's going to try to do that not only with those inside linebackers, Allen and Wilson, but they don't have Jalen Walker anymore at Georgia, but they feel like they probably have the next one in Chris Cole, a young player. He's had two sacks. So the four sacks for Georgia through three games, two from inside linebackers, two more from Cole, who is kind of a hybrid player. You'll see him at multiple spots. They'll move him around, some jack, bring him off the edge, do some different things with him. He might be more situational. Which means if you're Ryan Grubb, maybe you try to go more up tempo to limit substitutions and keep a guy like that off the field as much as you can defensively, because I don't think Cole has started a game for Georgia. I think he's played in all three. He's been great. He was great against Tennessee last time Georgia was out, but just some guys to keep an eye on. But this Georgia pass rush in terms of true upfront guys, kind of been like Alabama's to this point, you know, hasn't been exactly prolific in terms of finishing on the quarterback. And I know that's a primary goal for both of these defenses Saturday night. So as we move along here on the injury front, another one of note that both Kane Womack and Kalen DeBoer chimed in on Monday involved the big man in the middle of that defensive line for the Alabama Crimson Tide, Tim Keenan. So another positive update on the injury front. And absolutely, I mean, this is big person football you're expecting on Saturday night. And Tim Keenan obviously checks that box more so than some of the younger guys you've been trying to run out there, especially with Jeremiah Beeman out as well. And bless those guys. They put forth a tremendous effort. And in some ways, I think they have benefited from a perspective of when you get Georgia into some obvious passing situations, you can roll them in there for Tim Keenan and try to get after the quarterback with your interior pass rush, because you've seen some of that from London and Isaiah even a little bit from that standpoint. But first down, you know, you're expecting this to be physical football, early down physical football. That's where Tim Keenan can excel. That's where he can help guys like Deontay Lawson and Justin Jefferson and Nakai Hill Green. They can look like better players for sure with a guy like Tim Keenan in there. Now, is Alabama as much of a two-gap defense as it was under Nick Saban in terms of occupying blockers up front and those type of things? No, but if you're talking about being able to sort of combo block and then get up to the second level, you're probably going to have to commit at least a little more focus to making sure that double team initially gets handled before you come off of it and get up to the linebacker level. Because if you don't, Tim Keenan can wreck some run plays. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, Georgia against Tennessee two Saturdays ago got off 55 runs. Now, some of those, because of college football, they go back to even sacks, extended plays with the quarterback. And obviously that'll be a part of this thing with Gunnar Stockton and his legs, probably more so situationally, short yardage, you know, extended plays, red zone opportunities. I think design quarterback runs in the red zone will be something to keep an eye on Saturday night for both of these quarterbacks. We've seen Grubb incorporate that some.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
With Ty, for sure, from the Alabama perspective, and I think Mike Bobo is probably going to do some of the same with Gunnar Stockton, because, you know, some of the questions Alabama fans have had about Alabama's backs, especially without Jam Miller, and I think even with Jam Miller, as we talked about here on the channel with Chase on Talking Tide, it's a solid group. You know, there's not a Heisman Trophy winner in this group or someone of that sort of ilk. And I think for Georgia, it's kind of the same thing offensively. I think there's quality backs. I love Nate Frazier. I just like the way he runs with an edge for Georgia, but through three games, he's a sub 5 yard per carry back. Same thing for Gunnar Stockton at the quarterback position. He's 4.4. Chauncey Bowens has emerged for Georgia. He's 4.2. Josh McCray, the Illinois transfer, he's kind of a situational guy. I think he had a couple rushing touchdowns against Tennessee a couple Saturdays ago. But Georgia got off 55 runs. Now, didn't come close to that Tuscaloosa last year, but, you know, that's in large part, if not almost exclusively, because Alabama got out 28-0. You know, ideally that would happen again. Alabama gets out to a point where it's more about certainly Gunnar Stockton having to throw the football down in and down out. And, you know, even with Carson Beck in Tuscaloosa last year, it was how Georgia got back into the game, but it also played a role in why Georgia was down 30-7 at the half to begin with. You know, Alabama was +3 in turnover margin in this game last year. And then the run game really for both teams. I don't think for Alabama, your quarterback's not running for a 120 this time around, like Jalen Milroe did a year ago. I mean, Jalen just gashed Georgia on the ground. So it's going to be, again, different year, different matchup. So when you go to this historical data and some of that stuff, you kind of lose me a little bit, even in terms of the point spread for this game. You know, I had an X follower today. Well, the historical data points to Georgia -3 not being low. Well, you know, the historical data didn't point to Vandy beating Alabama last year either, did it? Or Oklahoma beating Alabama as a double-digit underdog, or Florida State beating Alabama as a double-digit underdog. Now, look, you know, we're finding out Florida State, pretty damn good football team. But in terms of this matchup in the run game, I think they're kind of mirror images. And maybe Georgia, even more so than Alabama, has some questions about that offensive line. Drew Bobo steps in there at center. Tate Ratledge, really good guard for Georgia a year ago, who missed the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa last year because of an injury. I think he's playing right now on Monday Night Football for the Detroit Lions. So this hasn't been that Georgia offensive line now for a couple of seasons. And I think Georgia's still dealing with an injury going into this game at the right tackle position. And for Alabama up front, you heard from Ryan Grubb today too about continuing to rotate. And I don't think that's going to be limited to just those guard positions where we've seen Geno Vandermark and, you know, Roberts and Dewberry and those guys kind of rotate there at the guards. I think big Michael Carroll, that situation at right tackle, that'll be something to certainly keep an eye on Saturday night as well. So as we move forward with some comments from Kalen DeBoer, he was asked if there's been a change in the approach to road games, given Alabama's struggles here and their last, I don't know, what, four or five trips on the road, sans LSU last year. It's been a little bit problematic, and here's what Kalen had to say about that. Yeah, I think Kalen's point is to, you know, your players pick up on things, right? So if you sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater once we're in season, that can put off a sort of signal to your players that you're not totally bought in on your own approach. You know, how you go about your business and traveling and the road and all those things, to me, that's an off-season self-scout sort of topic. You know, that's something you talk about back in February and March and maybe going into the season, especially when you had the problems Alabama had a year ago on the road. Now, some of it, you know, the Tennessee game, that was a tough game. Played a capable opponent and came up short. But, you know, when you think about Vanderbilt and sort of Oklahoma from those perspectives, that's what made the Florida State performance, I think, for a lot of Alabama fans, especially galling, was that, wow, you had this whole offseason to address a lot of things that were problematic for you at the end of last season. And you roll right into the opener and it feels like you've regressed from even where you were at the end of the season. So, you know, logistically, you know, those type of things, operationally, how you go about travel, all that, those are things that are handled by staff, support staff, director of football ops, you know, those type of people. And at the direction, obviously, of Kalen DeBoer, at the end of the day, it's all his, but it's not something necessarily that you want to be tweaking once you get into the season. But as Kalen said, you know, you're always looking to improve. You have to. And just like if you were talking about the offense or the defense, at the same time, my concern would be you start overselling some of these things that aren't as maybe important to winning as some other things. And I think that was part of Kalen's point there as well. We'll also catch up with Kalen here on his thoughts, lessons learned from that Georgia game from a year ago. Let's see what he had to say about that. What can you take from last year's Georgia game and maybe apply it to this matchup on Saturday night?
you talked last week and then Kane talked earlier about there's got to be better response to adversity on the road. I know last year's game was at home, but how much can you use that game as an example of responding to adversity and then finishing through all four quarters?
Yeah, and that's it. And it's never over till it's over. And you can, you know, I challenge the guys to watch some football this weekend. And, you know, we pulled up a game or two and tried to learn from what other teams are doing and what happened to them, good and bad. And that, you know, you fight till the very last play. And that's whether you're ahead or whether you're on the wrong end of it at that time. And that example last year was exactly, you know, what one that we lived out. And so it was great, and then it was hard, and then we found a way. And so, you know, you play because crazy things happen, and you play because you love to compete, and that's what, you know, our guys are going to do here this Saturday.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
You know, I think something among the many things probably that the Saban era, as we – there we go – that we were desensitized by during that Saban run was, again, and there were more than one or two living in that sort of fantasy world for a decade and a half plus, is that winning on the road is hard, right? Saban made that look a lot easier. His teams made that look a lot easier, and they didn't win every game on the road. But you think about, and I've said this before, the stats and the numbers that are sort of mind-numbing from the Nick Saban era. And I'll always go back to his road record because it is a lot harder than those teams made it look, especially after that 0 for November in his first season. And again, it goes back to program, fiber, program, DNA, you know, those type of things that you build over the course of time. And I think that's a benefit Georgia has. And I think it showed up even in that game last year because Georgia didn't just roll over. Georgia didn't roll over two Saturdays ago on the road at Tennessee. I think it leaned heavily on what Kirby has instilled over the years there. And it has taken some time. It took some time. Kirby didn't go in there and go, you know, 12-1 his first year. Now, he got it turned around pretty quick, you know, because he was right there. What, right there in Atlanta, and probably should have won a national championship. And that was Kirby's second year, I guess. Yeah. Kirby coached with that 2015 Alabama team. 2016 was kind of tough. By 2017, kind of like Saban in year two at Alabama, had that thing going. Now, again, difference between programs and teams. And I think right now, you know, nobody over there in Athens would say something like this. But I think Georgia kind of looks at Alabama like Alabama ended up looking at Georgia during the Mark Richt era. I think that's, you know, yeah, Richt got a win in Tuscaloosa in Saban's first year. And then after that, it was all Nick. You know, kind of like Alabama last year got a win over Georgia in Kalen's first year. You know, it's going to be all about the tone that gets set here moving forward. And physicality is going to be a big part of that. And Georgia's going to go into this game Saturday night, I think, feeling like if it comes down to it, in terms of physicality and toughness, they're going to feel like at home, they're going to get the job done. It's going to be on to Alabama to sort of right the wrongs that we've seen all too often in these last 10 or 12 games and show that this is more of what this program is going to be under Kalen DeBoer moving forward. And so, you know, you talk about those sort of matchups that you expect. And a lot of that goes back to interior offensive line, traditional run game. I think Mike Bobo and Georgia are going to come out and they're going to be edge-oriented, I think, from the outset. They're going to see, first and foremost, can Alabama really set an edge on the perimeter? You know, can this defense be aligned in a way, to start with, that can set an edge against an opponent like Georgia? And then Georgia, with its tight ends, Lucky and Delp, and Humphrey at wide receiver. You know, one of the things Georgia lost with Brock Bowers when he moved on to the National Football League was physicality and space. That dude was a good blocker on the perimeter. He wasn't just a freak playmaker at the tight end position. He would get it done as a blocker. And, you know, I know Kirby, listening to him today, he said the right things about Alabama on the perimeter and having some tough guys. Almost subliminally, I thought he was saying that's where we're going early. We're going to work the quick game out to the perimeter. We got a guy in Zacharius Branch, the transfer from USC, that had a big touchdown run against Tennessee two Saturdays. We're going to get it to him on some reverses, some of that type of stuff. I think Alabama, especially with Keenan in there, can hang in okay against a less than dynamic Georgia run game. I think it's out on the perimeter where you might have the bigger concerns. Now, again, Georgia doesn't have a James Cook in this backfield. Georgia doesn't have a DeAndre Swift type in this backfield. But if they're able to get off 50 to 55 runs like they did against Tennessee, Georgia ran 87 plays against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee with that tempo kind of kills itself in some of these games. And I thought when that game got to overtime, even though it didn't go much into overtime, you saw a sequence there.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Where I think the discrepancy in, say, 20 runs between the Georgia offense and the Tennessee offense showed up, because Tennessee tried to run it in that overtime and got stuffed before having to settle for a field goal. Georgia ran basically the same play, like an outside zone, hit the edge, got down inside the five, got in the end zone, and that was a ball game. So, you know, I think it's a mindset game, obviously. I think that physicality is going to be a big, big part of it. You know, these teams are pretty similar in a lot of ways. I talked about it in relation to getting after the quarterback, finishing on the quarterback. Both of these coordinators want more of that. Talk about it from a running back perspective. I think Alabama, with the explosive playability, can replicate some of the stuff that Tennessee gave Georgia a lot of fits with. Ryan Williams, I mean, there's no secret about that after last year's game in Tuscaloosa. But Tennessee had 9 pass plays of 15 yards or more against Georgia. So not going to be surprised if Alabama, really from the outset Saturday night, is able to hit some things in the passing game. Where the confidence comes into question is just in terms of the scoreboard. And if Alabama gets down 7 or 10 early, how does this team respond? Does this team become a program in that instance, potentially, for Kalen DeBoer? Maybe that's what we're going to find out. But until we see it, it's hard to feel particularly good about that possible scenario unfolding in Athens on Saturday night. I think it's not unfair to say about Alabama to this point that it's been a bit of a front runner, right? Everything was fine when Alabama jumped on LSU on the road in Baton Rouge last November. But man, when adversity is hit, and sometimes even prosperity, it didn't handle prosperity all that well against Georgia a year ago in Tuscaloosa. But man, when adversity is hit, and this is against teams that aren't used to having Alabama in a position like that. I don't know if Georgia's really used to having Alabama in that type of position. But it's had a lot of teams in that sort of state, and it has finished them. Georgia typically under Kirby at this point gets you in that spot. Georgia will finish the deal. And that's what I'm going to be most interested to see from Alabama on Saturday night. We got any, I'm sorry about the audio. I apologize about that. Joe Hall chiming in here. Kalen and Grubb must deliver a great offensive game plan this week. We will need 40-plus points and zero turnovers to win. I believe this can happen. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of points, which tells me Joe isn't especially optimistic about the Alabama defense. And, again, Georgia did score, 44 in Knoxville, but, that was in overtime, and it ran 87 plays. When you kind of break it down by plays, that's not a ton of points. Third down defense is going to be big in this, too, because Alabama to this point is last in the SEC in third down defense. So, to Joe's point, that's something to keep an eye on. Steven Burton here in the comments. I think if Georgia rushes for 125 plus, we are in trouble. Again, Georgia didn't come close to that a year ago, in part because the Alabama jumped them in Tuscaloosa. I do think, I could see that from this perspective, Steven. If Georgia rushes for 125 plus and gets its quick game working on the outside, that could be a problem. Kind of as an addendum to the run game or a tag to the run game, if the perimeter quick game, the screens and that type of stuff, the tunnels, all those sort of things that Georgia likes to do out there, if Alabama's corners and Husky aren't holding up against that kind of stuff, yeah, that could be a problem if it kind of plays out that way. Sorry about the audio again, guys. Apologize about that. That's on me. We'll go ahead and do some Q&A anyway. Joe Hall says, we need to put this game onto the shoulders of Ty and our receivers. Hope to get more on the ground with Jam, but we will win this in the air. I don't think that's a sentiment that's all that unpopular in terms of what the needed ingredients for Alabama. And you're going to have to get some stops, though. You can't just count on going on the road. I guess you did it at LSU. But Tennessee last year, Norman last year, Michigan in the bowl game, Florida State this year, hadn't really lit people up in those type of situations. I do think the offense got what it needed the last two games in terms of a confidence boost and just more time together and more opportunities for Ty with those receivers. And we've seen some other guys, Latsier Brooks and some other guys step forward, and getting Jam back I think will be important. I just don't see a back for either one of these teams sort of going crazy running the football. There's not a Najee Harris, who unfortunately we heard today, Achilles tear for Najee out there with the Chargers, ends his season. There's not a Derrick Henry, certainly, and for Georgia, there's not a James Cook, a DeAndre Swift, no Sean Moreno. Speaking of one of the last times Alabama went to Athens. But I think Ty's going to have to be really good. And I think if you watch Georgia-Tennessee, that's kind of where the matchups for Alabama should be. Donald Andrews, if they lay an egg Saturday night, I don't know what you're getting at there. The video is working. It was the audio. Okay, here's Donald with the rest of it. They lay an egg Saturday night. It will cause more questions. If you play well and lose, that's one thing. But if you don't show up on the road once again, it's a problem. Yeah, you know, that's the thing, though, about the Florida State loss is that if you win that game, you can go to Athens and lose a close game maybe and say, well, you know, showed we belong with a top 10 team on the road. And that's nice and all, but at the end of the day, you're still a two-loss team before the end of September. You are what your record says you are. What else do we have here? I guess I got the video right eventually. How about that? Yeah, Steven, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You got to make Gunnar Stockton beat you from the cup. And I'll say this for that guy. I mean, that dime he dropped to London Humphreys to keep that game alive for Georgia at Tennessee was something else. That was a heck of a throw. And I think he fits Bobo kind of along the lines of how Stetson Bennett fit that previous situation with Monken. And then you got into Bobo. I think Carson Beck is a better fit for where he is now, especially for a Miami team that has a run game and a really, what looks to be a really good defense. I never saw Carson Beck as a carrier of a football team. I still don't. It doesn't mean that Miami can't win the national championship with him because, hell, Ohio State won it last year with Will Howard. Let's see what else we got here. Unknown Damone, my guy right here. Let me see if I can get this up. Unknown Damone says free AK Deer. Well, I will say this, you know, of the backs you're most likely to see for both teams Saturday night, the two backs that probably have more of that kind of ability, home run ability, are not going to probably see a whole lot of the field. Maybe AK Deer will, but AK Deer has home run ability for Alabama. I think, you know, you go into a game like this, understanding the physicality involved and the other things that the running backs have to be able to do in a matchup like this. And it's a little problematic to throw AK out there just yet. And then you'll probably see Dwight Phillips, though, for Georgia. He's played in all three games. Georgia got five different backs carries against Tennessee. But, I mean, when you're running it 55 times, I guess – you can do that. Now, Cash Jones, he's more of your passing downs guy. Cash is going to be in there to pass protect. Cash is going to be in there to catch it on third down. Josh McCray, the Illinois transfer, is a big back. He's going to be your kind of short yardage goal line guy, which we saw against Tennessee. Primarily, I think it's going to be Frazier and Bowens with some Phillips in there. And very situational. Georgia is not afraid to play all those guys. And then you mix in Stockton with his ability on the ground. As I talked about earlier, Zach Branch coming in from USC. He's a guy, you know, he's the big play guy. Colby Young's kind of the bigger receiver, leads Georgia in receptions, averaging about 14 yards per catch, but Georgia's got five touchdown passes so far this season, two of them to Branch, two of them to London Humphreys. So that's four of your five right there for the Georgia Bulldogs. What else we got in the chat? Anything else in the chat? Let's see. W. Knight says, at least the coaches can call slants and screens for the first time in 2 years. The blind, wow, not very well, you know, I talked about that, W., with the quick game going into the season. Yeah, I thought more of getting the ball out quicker would be something you would see with Ty back there. And, you know, that's kind of been the case. I think Kirby was very, I don't know if you saw Kirby today or heard Kirby today, but Kirby was very complimentary of Jeremy Bernard. And how could you not be, right, to this point? But Kirby was detailed. And Kirby's a defensive guy when it came to his praise of Jeremy Bernard. And you can tell he's, you know, he's been around Nick and he's imparted this. Georgia last year wasn't a very good perimeter blocking team. I mean, Arian Smith, those guys, they were game breakers out there, but they didn't really get the job done out on the perimeter. It looks like Georgia has more of that this year. And again, that kind of goes back to something Brock Bowers gave them a couple of years ago, that, you know, Delp and Lucky are nice tight ends. But they don't bring that like, I don't think they bring it like Bowers did. Not because they don't try to, it's just part of Bowers' gifts, you know, his athleticism. And then you combine that with 1-2 and Will, and you got a guy that can really be a problem out there in those type of situations. You know, for Alabama, again, getting back to Kirby and Jeremy, he was just profuse in his praise, not only because of what Bernard has done on the ball when he's had it, but he gets it. If you're wondering if Kirby and Dan Lanning, excuse me, Dan Lanning, Glenn Schumann, there we go. It's getting late. Glenn Schumann, get it in terms of Bernard. They absolutely get it because, they see that a lot of this quick game actually goes behind Jeremy Bernard. You would think a guy like that, he would be catching it and you would be working behind other guys blocking for him. But more often than not, it's been Bernard who's been out kind of leading that thing and helping guys like Josh Cuevas and other guys turn those easy touches into positive plays. Donald Andrews chiming in. Well, I think Ty has to play well. I also think Bama has to run it much better. Yeah, ideally that would be the case. I'm not going into this game Saturday night thinking Alabama is going to run for 170 like it did a year ago against Georgia. And again,
you're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Part, in large part, because I'm not expecting the quarterback to run for 120 like Jalen Milroe did in this game a year ago. So if it's more on the traditional run game with the backs, you know, Justice Haynes, I think, of Alabama's backs in that game a year ago, 5 carries, 38 yards, and that was easily the most productive performance by an Alabama back in the game. Didn't really need it as much because Jalen was just ripping chunks. But I hear you, Donald. I still think you're going to have to think more in terms of red zone opportunities and goal to go. And even with Ty in that, you know, design quarterback run game, how you utilize him in those situations. And then also, if you get in a position where you can close the game, that's the big 4-minute offense. Can you take the clock? You know, I think that's kind of where it's going to be. And that's where I have the biggest concern for Alabama in this game, probably, is if it comes down to that type of situational offense. I think Georgia, to my eyes, looks like the group that can win that sort of box more so than Alabama. Let's see. What else do we have? Mike Wood said he'll take 100 yards by committee. I think that's fair, Mike. I think maybe for Alabama, you know, with the backs, it's got to be that sort of perspective of it looks like it's got to be more of that perspective of scrimmage yards, because the backs can catch it in this game too. You know, I know we're already pointing towards Jam being back. That's going to be interesting to see how they implement Jam. Do you just come right out and start him? He's a veteran player, but this is still a big, big spot. You know, you're not sort of waiting or easing in here. This isn't La Monroe that you're coming back for after missing Florida State or, you know, coming back for even Wisconsin. This is a different tempo. And I know you're coming off a bye week where I'm sure you did a little bit of good on good last week, just fundamental work, which was probably great for him. Great for Jam to get him reacclimated. Because certainly Alabama, from a personnel perspective, if you're doing some good on good stuff, you know, you can get him up to speed pretty well. And also, it's not like he's been out since last season. And this is really his first football. I mean, Jam was right there on the cusp of the season opener when he went out. So there's not this huge gap in sort of time and even practice reps for Jam that there would have been, let's say, like there was for even Deontay Lawson before fall camp. So we'll see how that goes. Jim chiming in here. Says in the 2021 SEC title game, we got Georgia pass rushers gassed in the first quarter, allowed us to run it later. Yeah, that's the head ball coach was very good with that at the University of Florida, wasn't he? Spurrier would come out and throw it. And then Eric Rhett would run for 100 yards in the second half. Wow. Steven says he thinks Kirby's going to come out and play soft, basically, on defense, and that's going to help the Alabama run game. Yeah. But, I haven't seen – and here's the thing. I mean, Grubb has something for that if teams – there's been so much talk about the Wisconsin game, too, and the lack of a run game. But you know what? I'd rather have an offensive coordinator that doesn't just keep trying to run it into a downhill play in defense. And you know what? First or second down, we're going to go play action and light you up. I'd rather have that guy calling my offense than, well, damn it. I know they're playing a certain way and, you know, we're still going to run the damn ball. Well, great. You know, Jack here chiming in. What is more likely? Alabama keeps it close or Alabama is blown out? I don't see this game being a blowout either way. I think in terms of explosiveness, I would lean more to Alabama right now. I think in terms of methodically, if this thing gets late third, early fourth, and it's tie game, or especially if Georgia's up a score, that could be a tough spot for Alabama. I think if it turns into a thing with, it coming down to explosiveness, and, Georgia has more of that than probably people have given it credit for because of Stockton at the quarterback position. And I talked about it earlier, Tennessee with the 9 pass plays of 15 yards or more in that game a couple of Saturdays ago. Georgia had 7. And when Georgia needed it, they got it. I mean, they got the explosiveness. CC216 chiming in here. I tend to agree with those who say we have to play to our strengths and running isn't our strength. And maybe back to Steven's point, maybe Kirby comes out and says, you know what? We feel like if they come out and 11 personnel or even in 12, we don't have to stack the box to slow down this run game. The one thing we can't allow is for Simpson to get it going with these receivers. And that's more to what Alabama's comfortable with. Oh, goodness. What about Rick chiming in here in the show chat? Who is the one person on defense we need to have a huge game? I mean, there's a couple of guys on that defense that this is sort of a, NFL audition for because of the kind of personnel and the kind of scheme you're going to be going against. I think for a guy like LT Overton, I mean, if you're a legit three down NFL type of player, this is going to be a great opportunity for you because Georgia is going to offer things to you in ways that if you play well, you're going to answer a lot of questions. And finishing on both these quarterbacks isn't going to be easy because both are mobile enough to extend. Neither one of these guys. Here's what we've got in college football, by the way, this year. We got a lot of quarterbacks who think they're faster than they really are. I tweeted this the other day. We got a lot of Haynes King types at quarterbacks, too. You know, you watch Auburn and Oklahoma last week, Mateer and Arnold. You know, those guys kind of run in a way where they really think they're going to make bigger plays with their legs and they're capable of making. You know, Stockton and Tyler are good athletes. I think Tyler to a higher degree in all likelihood. But I also think both guys are elite when it comes to competitive nature. I don't have any doubt about that, but I think LT Overton for me, for the Alabama defense, if you're really that guy that you've sort of flashed as being over the last season and change, it needs to be more along the lines of four quarters. And I don't think you can, you know, I think those inside linebackers, they have to be tone setters early in this game. Because, again, I think Georgia looks at Alabama and thinks, you know what, unless they just go off again with the explosive plays, if we can keep this thing sort of at the pace and the sort of game that we like, we'll bleed them out. I think that's the way Georgia looks at this. And it's a big game for that guy, too, Kane Womack. Vinny asking, who you got more faith in, Kirby or Womack? Hope I'm wrong. Well, I think Vinny kind of answered his own question there in terms of who he's got the most faith in. It's a big game for Kane Womack. And going back to sort of the point that was made just a minute ago about, well, you know, even if you go over there and you lose, let's say, a 24-21 game. Now, you know, everybody says that before the game, but if Alabama loses, period, aftermath right here, Saturday night, late Saturday night, isn't going to be for the faint of heart, regardless of what the score is. But you just want to see a well-coordinated defense that it's apparent that the comfortability with the scheme and the responsibilities is such that guys are making plays and not just a guy, but four or five guys getting to the football. Right. I mean, you just want to see more striking. That's what I want to see from the Alabama defense. I just want to see the Alabama defense consistently strike people. And this is a Georgia offense that this isn't Gus, you know, Bubba's not going to reinvent the wheel. in this game. Yeah, he's going to have a few things in there. But most of it, especially with programs like this, because they're built in a way in terms of elite personnel, it's like, well, here it is. Let's see if your guys can stop it. We're going to try to create some individual one-on-ones, and let's see if your dudes can deal with it. And if you're in the right position at the right time, you got a lot better chance of being able to do that. But it'll all start with the front seven and edge setting, extending out to the perimeter, and, you know, Bray Hubbard, those safeties bringing it, and, you know, not having your eyes lie to you either. Bobo's going to check that out too. Going to see how those eyes are working for that Alabama defense. Try to make them pay with it. And again, Branch, I think, will be a big part of that as well. Hey, guys, I'm sorry for the tech diffs earlier in the show. But I think we hit on a lot of topics tonight, didn't we? We're rolling on to almost an hour at this point, and a lot of you have chimed in. We really appreciate that. We're going to have Talking Tide with Good Bread coming up on Wednesday night. We'll have Second Helping, the SEC show, coming up. I think tomorrow night we're going to do that with Brent Beard right here on the channel. So if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll go ahead and do that right now. Hit us with a thumbs up. We'd appreciate that. Chad chiming in here says, good evening. Hope you're doing well. Back at you, Chad. We're just talking some football, man. Donald Andrews trying to get me on record. You know, man, I don't know if a lot of people are going to like my predictions this week, period. You know, the confidence level for the U.S. Ryder Cup team is, I'll say this, it's probably not as high as the confidence level for Alabama going to Athens Saturday. And look, Alabama's going on the road. I'm saying that about the Ryder Cup team, and you're playing at home. Donald, I'd feel a lot better if Keegan was playing and not just captaining. Yeah, I mean, Europe is tough. Europe, this is the Super Bowl. This is the World Cup for Europe. It's not the Ryder Cup. It's the World Cup for Europe. And you know those guys would love to put it on the U.S. right there at Bethpage Black. So I'm picking Europe, unfortunately. I think you look at the rosters, hard not to like the U.S., but that European roster isn't chop liver. I do like that some of the Europeans don't seem to be playing as well going into it, like Rom. You know, Rom hasn't been good, but we'll see. We'll see what JT's got, right? Justin Thomas? We'll see. I think that's going to be the deciding thing for the U.S. It's going to be guys like JT, Sam Burns. I like JJ Spahn on the team because he's a road less traveled guy. I think he'll hold up. Some of these other guys that worry me for the U.S. Yeah, I mean, just on paper, yeah, Steven, I like the U.S. roster, but hasn't been good lately. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. As always, appreciate the input, the feedback. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Monday night. And we'll be back soon right here on Ryer on YouTube. Got some radio appearances coming up tomorrow if you're in the Huntsville area. I'll be on with Scott and Drew. Well, no, not Scott and Drew tomorrow. Tomorrow is Longshore and McKnight in Montgomery. Be on with those two knuckleheads in the Montgomery area. They're online now too, I guess. I'll be on with them in the morning. I'll be on with Lee and Mark in Mobile bright and early down there in the Port City area on Tuesday as well. And then Drew and Scott, I think, coming up later in the week. Again, thanks for joining us. Till next time. So long, everybody.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.